And we should be going.
All right, we're going to time off.
All right, we're going to call the meeting to order, the Labor Relations Committee meeting for April 13th for the city of Wilmer. Our second item on the agenda, public comment. Do we have any public comment today? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three, which is extended hours. You should have received a recommendation that's coming from the city administrator regarding moving or changing hours. I won't read the recommendation to you. I think we probably will just turn it over to city administrator Larry to talk about it, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and committee members, before you is a request for council action to set, call it extended hours on a department by department basis, and I would add to that building by building basis effective May 22nd, 2016 through September 3rd. Extended hours is defined as a 4 9-hour days starting at 7 a.m. To 4:30 on Monday through Thursday, and a 1 half day from 7 to 12 on noon. That ends up being 41 hours for which staff would comp an hour sometime during the week to make it a 40-hour week. I don't know if I want to read the entire thing. You guys have read it, or would you like me to go through it? But anyway, for decades, I promoted extended hours called summer hours. In Albertville, we worked 4 10-hour days, and in Thiefer Falls, Baxter, and Park Rapids, we worked 4 9-hour days and a half day on Friday, primarily over the summer season. Extended hours provide residents an extended day to do business an hour before their 8 to 4:30 regular hours, job hours. Extended hours benefits employees by extending their weekend. As always, customer service is a high priority and will continue to be so. It has been my experience that extended hours leads to improved employee morale and productivity at no additional cost to the city. In recent years, technology provides residents many different ways to access information and to pay bills. Unlike other cities, the city of Wilmer does not do the utility billing, which is a driving force for walk-in customers. Where there are bills, customers can arrange for automatic payment of bills initiated by the customer of the city, online payment via the internet, or simply using Dropbox in the parking lot. My experience with other services like building prints is also positive, in that most people that are planning on getting a building permit plan in advance for materials and getting their permits. Inspection on Friday afternoons are many times slow, with contractors maintaining similar work hours. And I'll just note that in Albertville, we were building approximately 150 homes a year, and it worked very well compared to the dozen homes that were built here last year. Departments participating in extended hours need to have a plan to cover most unforeseen events which may occur on the shorter day. Historically, the city has experienced less overtime with extended hours than the regular schedule. Departments which have Friday and weekend programming will continue to have staff available to serve residents. For example, the parks and police officers working shifts will not be affected, and utilities will have employees on call. Project inspection and other work will continue while construction is active. One of the main conditions that extended hours not be an added cost to the city in any way. All represented employee groups must agree to allow the extended hours, as overtime after 8 hours goes to overtime over 40 hours. Extended hours shall not be the cause of overtime. Communication to the public is an important aspect in successfully implementing extended hours. Plans are to post hours on buildings, notify the newspaper, radio, media, and promote it on the main page. And then the schedule's there. There's no financial cost for extended hours. In general, I've had real good success, and the cities that have implemented do so year after year. And so I'd like to ask that of your consideration. Just to say that, you know, other cities I haven't had, I would say 100% of the employees supported it. Here, there are a number of people that with daycare that have expressed some concerns. And since that hearing their comments, I've shortened my recommendation from early May to October 1st to just basically the payroll of Memorial Day to Labor Day, which is kind of the school season. Today, I heard that, or yesterday, I heard that the school may do the same thing as this for their summer hours. With that, I'll turn it back.
Any questions about the extended hour recommendation?
You said department by department. What does that mean?
Well, actually, more building by the building. Likely candidates would be the fire department, city hall.
Oh.
The rec, and police. The police that aren't shifting, that, you know, there's some secretarial staff and management that could qualify for this.
So then all of city hall, I mean, this building would all be considered one, okay.
Councilmember Anderson.
I've had conversations with a number of people, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of buy-in. I don't know that what I'm hearing is representative of everything, but in a former life, I tried to do this same thing. Was in Atlanta, and some of the issues that I heard there are the same sort of things that that I'm hearing here. That it's a problem at the beginning of the day. You have to get young children up earlier so that mom or dad can get to work. The school bus won't be an issue, because that was also an issue, getting the children on the school bus. And then at the end of the day, sometimes there'd be penalty if you overstayed however long your arrangement was. So I wish we had more buy-in from the employees. To be honest, I haven't had anybody tell me that they were in favor of it. So that's, and I don't want to impose something, you know, that's going to be a hardship on folks. I think we need to think about that a little bit.
Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I haven't talked to any employees, but I've talked to other people out in the public, and they're not buying into it either, for the fact that they expect somebody to be at City Hall every day, 8 hours a day. We and the staff and yourself are servants of this city. We're supposed to serve them. They're the customer, we're the service or the provider. And people I've talked to and myself think that it needs to be open 5 days a week, 8 hours a day.
You know, I think if it was a concern only of the Friday afternoon, I think we could probably work that out somehow. I don't know how you would do it, but, you know, they'd probably be able to be covered on Friday afternoon. But we are giving the public a little bit of an advantage in that we're here earlier. People might be able to come in before work or after work. So I think there's some pros and cons from the public side. I'm worried about the employees.
Councilmember Fagerly.
Yeah, we're supposed to be here for the public. I don't know how many times when we have community development meeting, someone comes in at 4:45, going to City Hall, and it's already locked. You know, I thought change of hours, you might have extended it even. You know, have stagger it, have someone start at 9 and then stay till 5:30 or whatever. I know there's one county southwest of here, and they close at 4. And it's really frustrating. If I don't get there by 4 o'clock, I can't get into the courthouse to get info. So I usually have to go early in the morning that way. So we're here for the public.
Mr. Chair, you know, you guys are the decision makers, but I can just say that in other communities it has been very well accepted. We're talking about a trial basis of approximately a 3-month period. And it is 41 hours versus the current 40 hours that we're open. And I respect your decision, whatever you decide.
What would be the biggest benefit of changing the hours, in your opinion?
I think it's a combination of improved employee morale. They get an extended, you know, 2.5-day weekend. And then we found that a lot of people will come in set before 8 o'clock and do business when they work an 8 to 4:30 job themselves. And then employees can, on Friday afternoons, they can do some of the business that they need to do, so.
Is it possible that you could flex out and have an employee who wishes to start an earlier session or two employees and say, you know what, we'll do here, and have that half-hour option when you still maintain your set hours?
Mr. Chair, you know, what I found over the years of doing this is consistency is one of the main things.
Sure.
When you flex hours, it seems like whoever people are coming to see aren't there. They're on the off flex. So that's why I'm very cautious, like ending at 4:30, and people are used to that. They can expect it. And then, you know, for the public, it was positively received. In Albertville, going to the 4-10-hour days, it was very well received. And, you know, whenever you first talk about this, you hear the comments that we're hearing now. But a year from now, if you try this, I think you would have a different opinion. But taking that risk of trying something a little different is a little scary. Once again, this can't cause any additional cost due to overtime. And then to answer Dennis' concerns, the union groups would have to approve it, and i.e. that's the buy-in that would come up from that. Mm-hmm. So.
Additional questions? Any wishes of how you wish to proceed with this particular recommendation?
You're looking for a motion.
Or if you wish, if there is not a motion, I know what I will be doing with it as well. So just curious if there's an appetite to move this forward or whatever you'd like to do. Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we should take it for information, and I think everybody got it, even though the council members that aren't here. But at this time, I don't know if we're in any position to recommend going forward with it. And, information is always good.
Okay. No other debate or argument. We will move that as a piece of information. We thank you for that. The next item on the agenda is organizational and job description changes and hiring. You would have received in your packet descriptions for Administrative Service Director, City Clerk, Finance Director, and a 2013 City of Wilmer Organizational Review Recommendations Report. And hopefully you have all of that. You'll probably need it. And with that, Larry, if you would please.
Mr. Chair, committee members, before you is a recommendation to establish the position and job description of Administrative Service Director and approve the revised job descriptions for the City Clerk. Further, during the period of overlap of the new City Clerk and City Clerk Halliday, to modify the duties of the City Clerk to Treasurer, with Halliday mentoring the new clerk through September 15th. Further, upon the retirement of Halliday, to transfer the duties of the Treasurer to the Finance Director. Further, to modify the Finance Director's job duties to include the responsibilities of the Treasurer. Further, to authorize submitting the job description of the Administrative Service Director and the City Clerk and Finance Director for grading and inclusion in the classification and compensation study. Further, to authorize advertising for the Administrative Service Director and City Clerk with the goal for them to start approximately July 1st, 2016. In 2013, the city completed an organizational review utilizing Brumeyer Fersman LLC. The firm led a citywide organizational review of operations and provided information to the council and staff to enable them to make decisions on the future of the organization. Fersman identified in their report a number of options that at the time were difficult to implement for many reasons. Kurzman identified that vacant positions provide an opportunity to reassess the organization. With the announced retirement of City Clerk Treasurer Kevin Halliday on September 15th, the city assessor vacancy and the desire to hire a human resource director, there now exists an opportunity to realign some of the functions within City Hall. With a key retirement, a vacant position, a new hire, and a reassignment of duties, there exists an opportunity to take a fresh look at how the city does business. After much thought and interaction with my management team, I would like to propose creation of an administrative services director position whose primary job function is to manage the HR human resource function within the city and provide administrative oversight over all the internal operations, including the city clerk, finance, communication, IT, and assessing. This would be a director-level position reporting to the city administrator. You will note this concept follows in line, much like Kurzman recommended. In the absence of city administrator, the administrative service director would be the second in charge. The title for this position could have also been Assistant City Administrator, Human Resource Director. Having been on a job less than 3 months, I found myself buried in human resource work, including the settling of the director's compensation, two AFSCME contracts, and the LELS contract. At present, we are continuing negotiations with the new supervisors and confidential employees unit. Simultaneously, the city has a classification and compensation study underway to address if the city is providing competitive compensation for its management team. Further, the goal of the City Council is to divest itself of the assessing department has led to additional employee concerns about department's jobs, while other employees are concerned about being bumped due to seniority. These issues have all been very time-consuming, a very time-consuming aspect of my job. Hiring a person to assume responsibility for human resource duties is a high priority and explains why the Mayor and Council budgeted for the position in 2016. It would be proposed to advertise for the Administrative Services Director and City Clerk with a goal to have both of them hired by July 1st, 2016. By doing this, the City Clerk will have an opportunity to get trained for the August primary election. City Clerk Halliday will not be employed for the November 8th election, and that responsibility will lie with the new City Clerk. The Administrative Services Director or Human Resources employee will be there to assist with the implementation of the classification and compensation study, amongst many other duties. In the meantime, the City Clerk Treasurer Halliday and a new City Clerk are both employed. Halliday could be designated as a treasurer, as that position will cease upon his retirement. During this time, Halliday may also assist with getting the new document imaging system up and running. There may be internal candidates that may be interested in the position, and the city would invite them to apply while seeking the best qualified candidate for the jobs. In order to advertise, I recommend approving the job description and forward these to Springstead to have them incorporated into the classification and compensation study to identify a wage range for the positions. If the compensation study takes longer than expected, advertising the positions could, with some finesse, be done simultaneously. The following functional chart shows the job duties to be performed under the Administrative Services Director. And then you see the organizational chart there detailing that. Financial considerations, the financial analysis shows the estimated combined annual cost of the Administrative Services Director and the proposed City Clerk would be $224,022, and this compares to $220,552 budgeted for the two positions. The net difference is $3,470. However, if family insurance is not needed, it would leave about $10,000 to the good. With the shifting of the treasurer's duties, there may be some compensation adjustments there. However, they should be minor. And you see the budget before you. Council has the legal authority to make these organizational changes, and I'll turn it back for your discussion and input.
Questions? Councilmember Anderson.
Thank you. Can you explain the benefit, why this would be a better organizational structure than we presently have?
Right now, the city administrator gets immersed, and, you know, my desk is overflowing, and I'm going in a lot of different directions. This would shift that, a lot of that workload to another individual, to, I think the quality of the work can increase. A couple weeks ago, I was absent on a Monday, and I called Clerk Halliday to, you know, to take over for me. Right now, there is no second in line, and I think having a second person, should something happen to me, if I was in an accident or sick or mm-hmm. left the job, it would provide some continuity into the future. Bringing someone skilled in HR, I think, would be a benefit, as you know, based on the past labor relations issues that we've had. And I think there's just a lot of work to be done. I will say that the pie is growing by a position with this person, so it's shifting duties within the organization, and that's a good thing.
Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've seen something like this before, and when Fersman was here, we opted not to go that route. And I thought it was a good decision at the time. However, we're at a period of time here where things are changing, and we're going to lose a city clerk, and then we've talked about an HR person for a while. I'm not convinced that we would have a full-time one here, but you're saying that administrative assistant would be the HR person, and you would share duties, administrative assistant and HR, what, half-time or quarter-time?
The administrative service director is a full-time position, primarily with HR duties, with oversight over internal operations.
And taking over a lot of your duties that you're doing now?
Right. Some of them, yes.
Okay. I know that your contract spells out what you're to do, and a lot of those things are in there, so then would we change your contract to? Because it states in there what you're to do with negotiations and all these other things, so then...
That would be up to the, you know, the council.
Do you see it that way, though?
Sure.
I mean, presently it says you will oversee all negotiations, and you are basically the HR person.
In essence, that's I am still the responsible party, so I don't see that it would be a change in my responsibility. You know, the work product that would be generated would continue, but it'd be done spread out more, I'd say.
But we would change your contract in the effect that, I mean, you're going to be overseeing another person.
You know, my contract is not that specific to say that I you know, have so many direct reports, so I would not think so.
This is a lot to chew on. I mean, I looked at it for a couple hours, and I haven't discussed it with Tim, and Tim, he's our legal expert on the council, and I want to see what his thoughts are on it, too, but it is time to be looking at this, there's no doubt about it, but I'm not convinced that this is the exact shape that it should be. You saying here, hiring the administrative assistant and city clerk, so there will still be a city clerk.
Right now, the city clerk treasurer is in charge of a $50 million portfolio and has other job responsibilities that a lot of city clerks don't normally do. So this is going more to a regular, traditional city clerk who's in charge of, as it says on the... On
electronics, business licensing,
refrigerator. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
This is the one you're looking
Elections,
at.
Elections, business licensing, and records management.
Yeah, that's the one you're looking at.
That's a traditional type city clerk, yes.
Yeah, ours is kind of non-traditional presently.
Right, with having the treasurer's duties.
Yes. Yeah, I got more duties, more responsibility. How would it affect the finance director that presently? I mean, would that, besides becoming the treasurer, just the same responsibilities? that you have under this chart?
Primarily, the treasurer duties would be added to the finance director role, and the HR duties probably that Mr. Oakens is doing would migrate to the
administrative
services director, and there'd be some shifting of duties there. Internal controls would always be maintained, so people that are handling cash and money, we segregate those duties.
The administrative services director that you're referring to is the same as administrative assistant?
No.
No?
No.
That's a different person?
Administrative assistant would be Janelle.
Okay. I see where that's at on the bigger chart here.
Councilmember Anderson?
Well, you know, I've advocated for an HR person for a long, long time, and I see it from maybe perspectives that everyone else doesn't. I used to be that sort of thing, so I know the animal, and I also see it through the negotiations that there's a need. There's definitely a need for an HR person, and you know, I think that person will be really, really busy initially with the compensation study. And don't forget, we're going to come up with a new insurance program too, some sort of a high deductible VIBA sort of thing. I think it makes sense, and I'd like to see us go this way and move it forward.
Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you. This structure,
mm-hmm.
as it is here,
mm-hmm.
you know, since you were an HR person, maybe, I don't have it in our company, pretty small, but could you explain exactly what that HR person does? I mean, I know they handle the negotiations and any disgruntled employees. Am I correct in that?
Well, that's true, but I think, you know, negotiations, when they're happening, is a big part of it, but generally we have multi-year contracts, so that's not something that's going to occupy a lot of time in the time period where you're not having negotiations. But the HR person is the one that's responsible. For instance, it would be responsible for all the insurance programs, all the questions that come up relating to that. They would be responsible for, I think we put the safety in here, all of the safety programs that I think right now might be with the fire chief. Is that the safety person? So we'd probably move that. There's just a myriad of things that come up. And employees have concerns and questions all the time. It's a very full and fulfilling job. You know, as an example, maybe this notion of changing the hours. If we had an HR person, people could have come in, maybe, not that they don't go to Larry, but, you know, he's the city administrator. If you have an HR person, that can be a sounding board, and maybe we would have been able to work that out. So it's a spot that employees will utilize heavily.
Is that HR person, that's the administrative services director, confidential employee?
Exempt. I mean, it's an exempt director level position.
So separate contract, similar to our administrator.
Mm-hmm.
Just contracted employees. I don't know if I'm ready to move ahead in it. I think I got to, you know, read into it a little more. Anytime you change a structure, you really got to think about it, because it's from here going forward, it's going to be this way. I don't know, maybe we should hear from some of the employees, see what their thoughts are. Some of them are going to have changing responsibilities, and I don't know, I really need to think about this hard. I'm agreeing with you on the HR person, though. A lot of work to do.
Yeah.
But it also shifts some responsibilities around, and I don't know, maybe is it wrong to hear from the employees, or is it?
No, I think that, I mean, I heard from other council members who were vested in this as well, part of the organizational review, that said they would like to chime in as well, and was hoping that labor wouldn't make a decision just on its own. They also want to chime in. So I think you're right. I think there's probably more facts that need to be brought in, more voices as well. But yeah, Councilmember Anderson.
So then, if we take no action today, can we expect to take action on Monday? I'm concerned because this all has ramifications in terms of the compensation study that we're doing. We've told people that that will be done in a timely manner, and if, you know, if we hold it up and hold it up, that's not going to be done, and then we're going to be in a mess. I don't have a problem people thinking about it, but I would like to see us take action on Monday night.
Councilmember Fegley.
I know we approved the concept of HR person, but we were going to look with the, share it with MUC. Has there been any discussion with them now, especially with their director?
No, but I think that's a conversation that can be had, especially once this person is on. That would be another benefit.
Okay.
Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there, I mean, I hear your concern, Dennis, but what is there really a time constraint on this? Is it, I mean, it has to be done in April, or can it be done in May? I mean, as far as the compensation study that's coming up, what's the deadline on that? And if we don't have it, who actually does it? Is it the administrator? Or was that on Halliday's plate, too?
That was an outside firm that'll be... They've already started, I believe, and I don't want to answer for you, Larry, but I think they've already started.
Mr. Chair, I originally had this coming to a full meeting of the council, and if you'd like to have a workshop and feel more comfortable with that, it is a very holistic thing that affects the organization. And
I truly believe that's probably where it needed to it was there originally, and that's probably where it should have remained, because I think you are correct. It requires probably input from everyone around the table.
My question still remains on that. Why can't that be done Monday night?
You want to take this, right?
Take it for information now, with the understanding that we will act on it on Monday.
Or try to.
Okay.
I mean, that's certainly an action that we can take.
I'd like to see up or down on it, but...
We can have the flow charts on the big screen so we can actually see
the old and the new.
Yeah. I'm hearing consensus to move it forward for Monday night for the discussion of the full council.
With the understanding that we'll vote on it.
Yeah, well, it'll be an agenda item on the council if that's what you wish to proceed. Is that the wishes of the committee? Mr. Mayor, would you like the chair to recognize you, sir?
I would like the chair to recognize me if that would be possible.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you have a comment.
You know, this has been something that's been talked about for a number of years, and it's a little bit of a different twist, and I know it's difficult, but it's been in front of the council now for 3 weeks. And so, you know, this was an agenda item for your last labor meeting that was canceled because there was not a quorum. And so it's been in the hands of the entire council for a minimum of 3 weeks at this point, probably closer to 4 weeks. And, you know, this is something that needs to be moved forward because hiring doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you don't just take and put a sign out and say, you know, we're going to hire a position. I mean, these are high-level positions. And then you have to bring the person on board. Generally, a person at this level is going to have to give probably a four-week notice to separate from their place of employment if they're currently working. And we want to have time for, and I apologize for being here late, but we want to have time for them to work with Mr. Halliday before he's gone. And all of that stuff starts building. And so there's more to it than just, you know, what might be at face value.
Councilmember Anderson.
I'm not sure Ron got his question answered about the timing issue on the compensation study that Springstead is doing. I believe we have told the parties involved that we would be done in this summer. You know, that would be July, maybe August.
It's probably going to take a couple months to complete, and right now they're on hold until we figure out
right.
what these job descriptions are going to be.
So we told the supervisory group that that's why we did a one-year contract, essentially, because we didn't have that done. We told them it would be done this summer, and we would be able to talk with them about that in the fall.
Councilor Christensen?
Thank you. But earlier it was stated that the compensation study would fall under the HR person.
They would lead that charge. I think it'll be started, but once you get the compensation study back, then there's the implementation phase, and that all takes work too.
Once again, I'm assuming staff has seen this for a while too, department heads and employees. I'd like some thoughts from them. I mean, they're going to be working under this structure, and I haven't spoken to any of them. Dennis said he talked to a couple of them, but I haven't. And it's appropriate.
Are you suggesting we ask staff that are present here? I don't know if they would. I don't want to put them on the spot, but I mean, if we put it on the agenda for next Monday, we have you have that time between to ask any questions you would want of staff, I suppose. Mm-hmm. If we're going to move it forward on a Monday night and we need an action item, if that is critical, then if we're going to deviate from this, it'd be nice if we had a counter proposal prepared, if that's the way we would push to go. But just my thoughts on procedure.
I'd like to just clarify one thing. I didn't talk to any staff members about this subject. I only talked about the summer hours. So
okay.
I've not talked to anyone about okay. this.
Okay. Well, I guess I would like to. I don't see that there's any big rush for this, other than maybe it should be done in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Because it's a lot to think about. It's anytime you change the structure. I mean, this is for moving forward. And one other question on here. You've got this the larger chart here. You've got right down here, you've got advisory committees. That wasn't on our other one. What are those? Well, we have boards, we have commissions, and
that was on the organizational chart that I saw.
Our current one?
Apparently.
Well, the RAC 8, I think, is an advisory board.
Okay, I see. Sure. Yeah.
Community ed. Well, that's okay. That's a board. But
I put a question mark on it.
And that may be
yep.
ones that the council can appoint from time to time to advise. And
so the administrator is above the administrative assistant, and then everybody else is below the administrator, yeah. Administrative assistant, and the administrative services director is a block of its own. So we'd have six departments there, basically. And we'd be adding one employee. Is that correct?
And down below is the subset under the administrative services director, the city clerk, finance director, communications, IT, and the assessor. And then my update on the assessing is that conversations with the county continue to go well, and we're going to bring forward a tentative agreement for council and board, county board approval, possibly May 2nd and 3rd, with a potential transition date of July 5th, and those details are being worked out now and will be brought forward to a committee, probably the labor committee.
If I may, you got these two charts here. The top one, the administrative assistant, is in line with the other department heads. Below it, you've got the administrative assistant and then all the other departments below that person. City clerk, finance director, communications, IT, and assessor.
The one's an assistant, the other is the service director. They're different titles. This one is
right here.
Top of here?
No, not the assistant, that, right there.
I see. Administrative services director, yeah.
And then down here, it's
got. That's what you're saying, yep.
That's so just a blow up of
blowing it up more.
So then, the administrative services director has those other department heads below it. And then you're above the administrative services director. How much less is your job then? I mean, because a lot of those things that person will be doing. That's why I mentioned maybe the contract might have to be changed.
My job remains the overall responsibility of the city, and it doesn't change. Yeah.
But it's taking, you know, responsibilities you had in putting it on this services director.
It adds one more employee underneath me, I guess. Yeah. It would be that additional work.
Please. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to correct Councilman Christensen. He called the four positions underneath the administrative services director department heads. Under this scenario, I believe they are not department heads. Mr. Cruz can correct me if I'm wrong.
Thank you. That would be true.
Okay. Councilmember Anderson?
Regarding the assessor, after July 5th, that particular box goes away, or do we still have someone here, or what? Because we show assessor and appraiser one and appraiser two. I think that says two. Mm-hmm. That goes away, right?
Mr. Chair and committee members, ordinance will be brought forward for the council to abolish the assessing department, and that's required by charter.
Okay.
So it will go away.
It goes away.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if they are no longer department heads, how are they treated as contractually? You know, what? Are they deal with another union?
No, they'd be eligible for the supervisor's unit. They'd be part of the management team, but being the supervisor, eligible for the supervisor unit, as I understand. With a question for the city clerk, if there's no one underneath the city clerk, you know, that could be an asking position.
If that person isn't a supervisor, what you're saying? Well, I mean, I'd still like to hear the staff's, comments. I mean, I thought they would remain department heads, and evidently they aren't. Is it going to change? Some of their responsibilities are going to be changed, but is their contract going to be changed as far as the amount we're dealing with, or?
Job descriptions, and then the classification and compensation study will look at each of those positions in their evaluation.
You know, Springstead's already into our compensation study. They don't know what this chart is yet. They must be going off of our old chart.
No, they're on hold until we figure this out.
They are?
What we're going to do, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I don't remember putting them on hold.
He had to.
Okay, I don't remember. You? I guess I don't remember that happening, and then asking the council asking you to do it. I don't.
Well, no, I took that upon myself, knowing that it doesn't make sense to have a classification and compensation study on positions that are going to change in a relatively before the study's even done.
But shouldn't that come from the council? I mean, if you're going to, I'm not micromanaging, but I mean, we are responsible for this functional organizational structure.
Councilmember Anderson.
Time out here. Time out a little bit. I think there was some preliminary work, and there was some basic work that had to be done, I believe, for them to get started. Am I right on that?
Well, staff has to get all the job descriptions.
Yeah.
And information for the consultant to do their work.
So it's not like we said, "Doc, we're not going to do this." It's just take a pause till we figure out what we're doing.
Yeah, that's why I'm concerned. Yeah, reclassifying people, that's going to change, obviously,
yeah,
compensation.
That's why I'm concerned that we keep this process going.
I have a question. And it'll get to some, I think, of what Ron's asking. If the duties are moved, that, you know, these day-to-day hands-on duties that are occupying much of your time, if those are moved to an administrative service director, what do you see that frees you up to actually do more kind of work of?
Just across the organization, so many things that I don't have time to do the way I need to as an overall manager. And then further networking out in the community and that aspect of my job.
Did you get your answer?
Well, I suppose that could be, I mean, that's going to be probably different things for different folks, and the extent of what that is going to be, I suppose, would develop. The question probably is a moving target, and it's tricky, but I could gauge a little bit of the philosophy and direction that you want to take this city from the answer is kind of what I was looking for. So, because I think I always view this sort of as a vision kind of a thing, and that's what this truly is doing, is separating out the daily work that has to be done is over here, leaving more vision kind of work. That's how I view it, but you may view it differently, so I was just curious.
No, I think that says it quite well.
Councilmember Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the structure we've had up to this point has worked for, I don't know, 40, 50 years, quite a while. I see your need for the HR person. Where to put that person, you know, I don't know if this is the proper place or not to put that person in charge of our current department heads. I don't know if that's the proper place or not. I Mr. Fegley's idea of maybe exploring the HRA or HR person, you know, with the MUC, because I'm not convinced that that's a full-time job here, the HR part of it, at least. And I know that you were going to give some other responsibilities to that ASD, I guess we'd call him, Administrative Services Director. But that means that some other responsibilities are taken from somewhere else and put there. And I'm just not comfortable with it, that chart the way it sits. HR person, fine. I just don't know if it should be, you know, why would it be over all of our current department heads? What's the, you know, we have you, the ASD, and then what would you call them? They're not department heads, they're supervisors of departments. Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Mayor?
Well, I want to make a point here that, you know, the Administrative Services Director, as I read the flow chart, isn't over all of the department heads. You know, Communication IT Director that we have current, or coordinator that we have currently, that's not a director. It's not a director position. Our assessor, that's not a director position. Our city clerk, the duties are changing. The job description is there is changing. And the additional responsibility is going up to the finance director. So to say that the administrative services director is over all the department heads is, in my opinion, not a correct statement, not according to the flow chart.
I accept that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
I think that I think it needs to be made clear that the finance director's position under this flowchart is being proposed not to be a director any longer, and it would be a first line supervisor position under this flowchart.
It says finance director is the way I read it.
What it says that, but if truly what we are hearing is it is a restructure that those under the administrative services director would now be supervisors and not directors, so it would probably be a financial finance supervisor if you were going to mix words, I suppose, to say what it would actually be classified as. Councilmember Anderson?
You know, I back to the HR person, if it turns out that that's not necessarily a full-time job, I think one of the other things that I've thought we've lacked for a number of years is somebody that's in charge of our external communications. You know, be it a communications, whatever it is, that deals with the press and the media and the public. And so that's another duty that perhaps could be added if this ends up being not a full-time position. And with 100 employees, it may not, but with these other administrative and managerial responsibilities, I suspect it's going to be a full-time job. But I think we can fill it up, and I think we're remiss that we don't necessarily have a communications person.
Mr. Chair, if you look at the job description, there's more than a full-time job here with all these various activities.
You're talking about the administrative service director?
Yeah.
And I would say I think that job description is very extensive and well documented. Much different than what we had seen one time when we were talking about an HR position. I think this is a very good description of the duties.
So, what do we wish to do? Again, if to be somewhat cognizant of time, I mean, I'm still thinking a working meeting of this with the full council is probably the most desirable move at this point. But I don't know if we're ready to take action on Monday. I don't know if that would happen. Just from our discussion here, we would be redoing this discussion again for the other people that are not present here. And you know, I look and it's like, well, the next labor meeting would be the 27th of April. I don't know if that is out too far, or if you wanted to make one next week on Wednesday, or I don't know what your schedules are like, but if time is something we need to deal with, maybe perhaps calling a special working meeting on the week of council might be something to do as well.
Might we accomplish the same thing by then just having a full council labor meeting?
That's what I'm suggesting.
Oh, you said working group. I'm thinking a full council session, so you
fine.
Can, you know,
do full, make a decision. Yeah. Sure, yeah. I hear you. Thank you. The terminology. I'm the new guy, and I just got a gavel.
I'm not picking on you.
Councilmember Christensen.
I might add that we should call and make sure everybody will be here, so we have eight full people at the table talking about this. It's I know we've had some people go on vacations, surgeries, whatever, and then that happens. That's life. And I don't see this. I think your idea is good, but I think we should make sure, send emails out and say, hey, can you be here? If not, what day can you be here? It doesn't have to be on a, what is it, Tuesday or
Monday.
Today's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. Yeah, the next week Wednesday would be the 20th, and is that right? Did I get that right? Yeah. And then the week after is the 27th. So if you want to do a full council labor committee meeting, and you'd like to push it up for the urgency or the seriousness of this matter for the 20th, I am more than happy to do that. Or if we want to wait till the scheduled time of the 27th, that is fine as well. Or if you wanted to wait to see which of those two dates would get the more council members there, that might be a good idea as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be, you know, hearing what Ron's saying, I don't know if we're going to get everybody here for the rest of the summer.
Well, but if we get a majority of folks here, which we don't want to see is, you know, four people again, and the four other people that are not here. That's been a problem with some of our meetings.
Well, life happens.
Indeed, it does.
That's why. Yeah, it does.
And so do we have consensus that that's what we'd like to do, is move forward with a full council labor committee meeting either next Wednesday or the following Wednesday?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
All right, very good. It will not be on the agenda then for Monday's meeting, but we'll announce the special meeting for whenever we can get the most council members present. Anything further on that issue? Next item on the agenda is the assessing update.
Mr. Chair, I kind of gave you a little bit that, you know, we continue to work with the county, and maybe there may be something for that Wednesday meeting for that also. Maybe that could be a second agenda item to consider.
Okay, very good. Is there anything else that needs to come before the Labor Committee this evening? Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved. Thank you. We are adjourned.
You did it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Glad we grabbed that controversy on the first one. That's really.